Keegan Rasmus. Boy, oh boy, is Rasmus having himself an afternoon. 3-yard loss on that run for Tucker Phillips. Rasmus, I think, is earning himself a spot on the All-WVC team here today. What he's done to this Stevens Point front has been so impressive. Clock is moving. Second down and 13. 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go. Three timeouts remaining for both sides. Spash at their own 49-yard line. Two receivers left, one to the right. Quarterback Trent Breitbach looking at his wristband, now starting the count. Motion in to the right. There's the snap. Handoff, left-hand side, Calvin Roth. Turns it 50, out of bounds at the 46-yard line. Calvin Roth on the handoff on the left-hand side. I was a little surprised. I thought they were going to keep it in the hands of Trent Breitbach, but it's a 5-yard gain, and now third down and about 8 yards to go. Four down territory, to say the least. That does stop the clock because running out of bounds. 3:57 to go. 21-14 Warriors. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Empty backfield for Trent Breitbach. Roth in motion. Fake handoff. Breitbach up the middle. He is hit, and he is brought down. Rasmus again on the tackle, but getting to the 41 is Breitbach. That is a 5-yard gain, and that will leave them 3 yards short of the first down. I sound silly saying it, but a critical fourth down right here for both sides. Fourth and three, 3.5 minutes to go. Ball at the Warrior 41. Breitbach takes the snap. Breitbach up the middle. Breitbach has the first down. Keeps the feet pumping to the 35, pushing the pile to the 30, to the 28. Boy, what a run. What a run after contact. Breitbach able just to push that pile, and pick up 13 yards on the run and a big first down. So Breitbach continues to carry this offense on his shoulders. I have him 23 carries for 154 today. But now the clock is down to 3:05 to go. And they're going to adjust it, it looks like. 3:05 on the clock. Well, I don't know. Okay, they're ready. 3:15 is the clock, and now they'll roll it back in. First and 10 for Spash at the Wausau West 28-yard line. Breitbach has running backs left and right. Handoff, Roth, right-hand side, trying to get to the corner, turns it up at the 30, cuts back at the 25. Far sideline to the 20 and brought down from behind by Cooper DePoit. DePoit with the tackle from behind, but still 9 yards on the play for Calvin Roth. Actually, about 8 yards on the play for Roth to the 20-yard line. 36 yards for Calvin Roth on 5 attempts. 2:44 to go. Right to the line of scrimmage comes Stevens Point, 2nd and 2. Breitbach takes the snap. Breitbach, hand off to Roth. Roth cuts it ahead, gets the first down, spins forward to the 16, breaks a tackle, and then finally brought down by Jamison Kane. Oh, they're going to throw a flag on the tackle, and this may be, it looked like grabbing maybe up around the horse collar area was the defender, but have to wait and see what this call is. Flag thrown down at the point of the tackle. It was enough for a first down, it appeared. It is a personal foul, horse collar on the Warriors as Jamison Kane came in with the tackle. And again, breaking tackles was Roth. And now it will be goal-to-goal situation for Stevens Point. First down and goal for the Panthers at the Wausau West 9-yard line. Well, this one is coming down to the nub. Breitbach is at quarterback. Breitbach takes the snap. Breitbach will run it. Breitbach to the 10. Breitbach to the 5. Breitbach dives for the goal line and gets there. Touchdown, Stevens Point. 9-yard quarterback run for Breitbach. And now extra point pending that could tie it up. 2 minutes and 17 seconds to go in the game. So now vital extra point. Coming out, doing the kicking for Stevens Point. Chase Rayfelt, left-footed kicker. Hold is down, the kick is up, and the kick is good. 2:17 to go. 21-21 game. We'll have the kickoff coming up in 30 seconds. This is Wausau West Warrior High School football on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services. Whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic designer mailing, they print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small. So give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
Coming down to the nub here at Tom Field and our Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, 21-21, 2:17 to go. Here comes the Stevens Point kickoff. Straight down the middle. It will be taken on the left-hand side by Marcus Heisey. Heisey to the 10, moves to the right to the 15. Heisey to the 20, and Heisey is brought down at the 21-yard line. So that's where the Warriors start first and 10. They do have a kicker they have great confidence in. In Finn Christensen, boy, that extra point that earlier, that was a 35-yarder, sure is big now in this 21-21 game. So the Warriors feel like, I'm sure if they get to the 25-yard line, they would not be hesitant to throw Finn Christensen out there to try a field goal to win this game. So 2:10 on the clock. Each team has all three of their timeouts. So I'm thinking the Warriors want to get some positive yardage here on first down, because if they don't, I would expect Stevens Point to maybe think of using their timeouts. So Joe Gravine will take his team to the line of scrimmage. Two receivers off to the right, one to the left. Joe Gravine now motion to the left by Taden Mua. Mua behind the quarterback. Fake handoff. Looking to throw is Gravine. Going to fire deep down the right-hand side. He's got to be complete! Shane Jones, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! 79 yards behind the defense. Shane Jones, Joe Gravine puts it on target, and the Warriors regain the lead. 27-21 with 2 minutes even to go. Wow. And again, great time to throw. The protection up front by the Warriors was stellar. Gave Gravine plenty of time to look over the defense and then find Shea Jones behind the defensive back. Hit him near the 45, and Jones takes it the final 55 yards for the touchdown. What a game. What a performance. Here comes the kick, and it is up, and it is good. For the third time today, Wausau West responds to a Stevens Point touchdown with a touchdown of their own. 2 minutes to go, 28-21, Wausau West. Kickoff in 30 seconds here on 98.9 WXCO.
Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to WisconsinValleyConference.org and click on Wausau West.
Well, this one is far from over. Still 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 28-21, Wausau West with the lead. Four catches, 132 yards, two touchdowns for Shea Jones. So Shea Jones having himself a day. Here comes the kickoff. Christensen will boot it away. Far side. Oh, got a good foot into that one. That goes into the end zone. What a terrific weapon that Christensen is proving to be with the kicks, with multiple touchbacks here today. Wow. What a game. We have not had many Saturday games over the years here for the Warriors, but this one may want to do some more of them the way it's been going. So now Trent Breitbach, who has done almost everything for Stevens Point, will get one more opportunity. Spash still has all three of their timeouts remaining. Two receivers right, one to the left. Trent Breitbach has running backs flanking left and right. Looking over the defense is Breitbach. There's the snap. Breitbach looking to throw. Rolls to the right. Still looking. Fires it deep down the right-hand side. He's got a man, but it's over the top of Yang. Good defensive work. It was a very small window there as Miles Hobart one-on-one on Isaac Yang. And it'll be second down and 10. Trent Breitbach today has 129 yards passing and 163 yards rushing. He, again, is really filled up the stat sheet for the Stevens Point Panthers, but the big numbers are Wausau West 28, Stevens Point 21. Ball on the left-hand hash. Two receivers left, one to the right. Trent Breitbach takes the snap. Looking to throw. Breitbach again to the right. Looking. Fires over the middle. Has his man complete to the 34-yard line is Sager. Kaysen Sager, as keeping that play alive was Breitbach. Found Sager in the middle between the hashes. That will be a 13-yard pickup and a first down. Back to the line of scrimmage. Immediately comes Stevens Point. Clock is moving. 1:45 to go. 28-21 Warriors. Two receivers left, one to the right. Running back to the right of the QB. Breitbach looking to throw. Breitbach has time. Breitbach will fire deep down the middle. Nobody there, and it's incomplete. Boy, Warriors had two defenders around Kaysen Sager. Both Miles Wahlvogel and Taden Mua were closer to that football than the receiver was for Stevens Point. Second and 10 from the 33 for Spash. They need a touchdown only with 1:31 to go. So Spash back to the line of scrimmage. Empty backfield this time for Trent Breitbach. Two receivers left, two to the right. Play action, looking to Breitbach. Over the middle, complete. What a grab by Yang. Yang going up way high, brought it in at the Wausau West 45-yard line. He may be hurt. Boy, oh boy, that was a terrific grab. The defender was there, hit him as the ball arrived, and down on the field injured is Isaac Yang. 22-yard gain on that play for Stevens Point. Isaac Yang now has six catches for 64 yards in the game. But now the concern for Spash is their wide receiver is down on the field at the 45-yard line, and we're going to take a quick timeout as well. 1:25 to go in the fourth quarter. Wausau West 28, Stevens Point 21. Back in a moment here on 98.9 WXCO.
Transform any home with the finest craftsmanship and custom cabinetry for the kitchen, bathroom, or closet. At Featherstone Cabinetry and Design, they bring each client's vision to life from concept to completion through expert design and professional installation. Choose Featherstone Cabinetry and Design for all home upgrade needs, proudly serving customers from their locations in Rothschild and Minocqua. Visit www.featherstonecabinetry.com.
Isaac Yang able to get off the field under his own power, but it does look like he has a leg injury and he'll go to the bench. 1:20 to go. Clock is moving. First and 10, Stevens Point from the Warrior 45. Looking to throw his Breitbach. Has time. Here comes the Rajan Teagan. Rasmus gets the ankle sack again. Boy, that was big because trying to step up and get into the pocket and then run with it was Breitbach, but that ankle tackle from Rasmus may have saved a big gain for Trent Breitbach. He is brought down for a 2-yard loss, and Stevens Point will take their first time out. Timeout Panthers, 28-21 Warriors, back in 30 here on 98.9 WXCO.
Rocket Industrial's mission to package with less is a commitment to making a future that's better for the next generation. Their recommendations help manufacturers across the nation package with less material, less waste, less time, and with less cost. Their engineers and experts provide data-backed solutions that positively impact your bottom line. When you work with Rocket Industrial, you're working with a partner committed to making a difference. Rocket Industrial, package with less. Learn more at rocketindustrial.com.
Second and 12 for Stevens Point. Ball at the Wausau West 47-yard line. 28-21, Wausau West with the lead as we are down to 1 minute and 11 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Two receivers right, one to the left. Breitbach lined up to his right is Calvin Roth. Spread formation for Spash. Breitbach looking to throw. Breitbach looks right. Now looks center. Now rolls to the right. Now he'll fire it. He's got his man complete. As making the grab is Calvin Roth at the 39-yard line, but he was down. An 8-yard gain. Clock continues to move. And a timeout call by Stevens Point with 56 seconds to go. 56 seconds to go. 28-21, Wausau West. We will take a 30-second timeout and be right back. This is Warrior Football on 98.9 WXCO.
Looking to turn your dream home into reality? K5 Construction is here to make it happen. From complete home builds to interior remodeling, decks and exterior upgrades, they handle it all. At K5, they focus on quality, excellence, and you. From design to final construction, they're with you every step of the way, on time and on budget. Whether it's your first home or your forever home, they're building your future. Build with confidence. Build with K5 Construction. Visit buildwithk5.com.
They put a minute two on the clock. So a minute two on the clock here. They got the timeout. They reset it. So Stevens Point now third down. Third down for the 39-yard line. They need the 35. So third down and four. Four down territory to say the least for Stevens Point as they trail the Warriors by a score of 28-21. Chad Holmes again from your Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth at Tom Field. Back to the line of scrimmage comes Stevens Point. Trent Breitbach looking over the defense. Now motion to the left. Breitbach takes the snap, looking to throw. Breitbach, he'll be rushed. There's a center screen. Grabbing is Roth. Roth is tackled right at the line of scrimmage. What a job there is fighting for it. Again, big day for Jacob Shearer. Also there on the play was Deshaun Palos. But, boy, what a great job on that screen. It's a loss of one on the play. Fourth down, last chance for Stevens Point, and they are going to take their final timeout. Last timeout being called by Spash. It will be fourth down and five from the Wausau West 40. But the Warriors play that so nicely. As Stevens Point tried to set up a middle screen, they got it to a Calvin Roth, but there was Jacob Shearer, and also there was Deshaun Palos to make the play and make it a one-yard loss. So now this is it. A chance here for the Warriors to put in the final nail. No timeouts left for Stevens Point. You would think in this point they would run the football with Trent Breitbach. Somehow get the ball in his hands, either on the edge to throw it or to run it, because he has been their number one weapon here today. 52 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. 28-21 Wausau West. Teams back to the line of scrimmage. Two receivers on the left-hand side for Stevens Point. One to the right. Calvin Roth is the running back, lined up to the left of his QB. Trent Breitbach, the quarterback, looks over the defense. Breitbach starts the count. Breitbach takes the snap, rolling to the left, looking. He's looking. Now he pulls it down. Has lots of room. 35 to the 30. Cuts back to the right to the 25. Keeps his feet to the 20. Breaks a tackle to the 15 and finally brought down at the 14-yard line. A 26-yard quarterback run by Trent Breitbach, and you saw the green grass open up, and then he was able to make some big plays and right to the line of scrimmage, and spiking it will be Breitbach and Stevens Point. 40 seconds to go. Second down and 10 from the Wausau West 15-yard line. But would not expect this one to end any other way the way it's gone. Both teams have been throwing some roundhouse rights at each other here today. And now the final stage has been set. Second down and 10 from the Warrior 15. Stevens Point back at the line of scrimmage. 39 seconds shows on the clock. Roth to the left of his quarterback, Breitbach. Two receivers, left-hand side, one to the right. Football on the right-hand hash. Breitbach takes the snap. Breitbach, here comes the rush. He is hit. Fires to the end zone. Right-hand side. Adjustment and dropping it. Oh, making a good adjustment. May have been in the sun. Looking up is the receiver. That was Sam Kornowski, I think. Yep, Sam Kornowski made a nice adjustment, but I think he may have lost that one in the sun at the last moment, and he drops it in the end zone. And now third and 10 with 33 seconds to go. Back to the line comes Spash. Still on the right-hand hash. Kornowski off to the right-hand side. Two receivers on the left. Trent Breitbach, the quarterback, takes the snap. Breitbach looks. Now he's flush. Now he goes to the right. Still looking. Still looking. Fires it to the end zone. Incomplete. Incomplete. Wahlvogel on the defense. Again, the intended receiver was Kornowski. Keeping the play alive was Breitbach. And now again, it's fourth down. This, again, is it. And I've said that a couple of times, but another fourth down. Fourth and 10 for the Warrior 15. 26 seconds on the clock. To the far sideline is Trent Breitbach, gets the play from the coach. He goes into the huddle to pass along the information to his teammates. So now, two receivers to the right, one to the left. Roth is still the running back. Breitbach in the spread. Breitbach has a quick word with Roth. Now looks over the defense. Starts the count. Now motion to the left. Breitbach takes the snap. Looking to throw. Now he's flushed to the right. Still looking. Still looking. Still looking. Now he's flushed. He throws it up for grabs. Into the end zone. Incomplete. Incomplete. And the Warriors are going to win it. The back of the end zone. A heave to the back as Breitbach was sandwiched by a pair of Warriors. Could not connect in the back of the end zone, and the Warriors will have to snap it one more time, and they will earn a huge victory over the Stevens Point Panthers here today. And again, the secondary has to get great credit on that last play, because Breitbach was looking and looking and looking and keeping the play alive, ultimately just threw it up for grabs, and no one was there for Stevens Point. So the Wausau West Warriors will stay perfect at home this season. Fourth game at Tom Field. It looks like the fourth W for Wausau West. 17 seconds to go. Warriors will come out in their victory formation. Joe Gravin, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, will take the snap. There it is. He'll take a knee. And that will be it. And the Warriors will earn a hard-fought 28-21 win over the Stevens Point Panthers here today. Wausau West improves to 4-2 overall. They are 3-1 and now in second place in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. Stevens Point is 4-2 and they are 2-1 in the WVC, tied for third. 28-21 Wausau West over Stevens Point. We will have our post-game show coming up next. We'll recap the numbers of this one, look at the scoring, and put it all together. What was a terrific Saturday afternoon here at Tom Field in Wausau. Warriors 28, Stevens Point 21. This is Wausau West Warrior High School football on 98.9 WXCO.
Thanks to the Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club for their support of this broadcast of Warrior football on 98.9 WXCO. The Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club supports the Wausau West football student athletes in their activities and supports the Warriors from the opening kickoff to the final gun. Find out more about the Wausau West Warrior Gridiron Club and Wausau West football at their website, wausauwestfootball.com. Again, thanks to the Wausau West Gridiron Club for their support of this broadcast on 98.9 WXCO.
What's your idea of fall fun? Maybe it's hitting the trails on a new ATV. Then it's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. Or if you're thinking of a UTV for hauling wood or hunting, or maybe just because it would make the tasks around your property so much easier, it's time to call CCU. ATVs, UTVs, utility tractors, and their attachments for care of your property. Whether you need it for fun or to get the job done, Clover Belt Credit Union is here to help with the great rate financing you want. What are you waiting for? Life's too short and winter's too long. Thinking about a motorhome or maybe a snowplow for your ATV or utility tractor? Call CCU for great rate financing. And if you're thinking motorcycle, Cloverbelt Credit Union has the financing you need for the bike you want. Call or apply online at ccuwausau.com. Check it out. For vehicle loans, for mortgages, for financing fall fun, call Cloverbelt Credit Union. That's CCU. Local lenders lending local money. Keeping our community strong.
Thanks to Wisconsin Valley Flag Football for their support of football broadcasts on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a league for 3rd through 6th graders in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a fast-paced 5-on-5 league with small teams, so everyone is in on the action. For more information on Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, go to their Facebook page or their website at wivalleyflagfb.com. That's wivalleyflagfb.com.
Chad Holmes again from our Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast position at Tom Field in Wausau. It was a beautiful day, and it turned into an incredible football game here today. And in the end, the Warriors earn a huge win. I mean, this is a game where these guys grew so bigly, for lack of a better term, as they defeat Stevens Point 28-21. Let's look at the stats of this one. For the Stevens Point Panthers, they got 26 attempts for 186 yards and 3 touchdowns from Trent Breitbach. Tucker Phillips had 13 carries for 48 yards. Calvin Roth had 6 carries for 38 yards. Zach Ehlinger had 1 carry for 2 yards and 1 carry for negative 10 yards for Johnny Ananitis. Passing the football, Trent Breitbach was 17 of 25 for 171 yards. Ananitis was 0 for 1, 0 yards and an interception. 6 catches, 64 yards for Isaac Yang. 5 catches, 44 yards for Calvin Roth. 2 catches for 26 yards for Keeson Sager. 3 catches for 22 yards for Johnny Ananitis. 1 catch for 16 yards for Logan Krzyzewski. 264 yards on the ground, 171 through the air, 435 yards of total offense today for the Stevens Point Panthers. For the Wausau West Warriors today, running the football, no one had a big day, but they had a number of players that had good days. 11 carries, 41 yards, and a touchdown for Miles Waldvogel. Taden Mua had 4 attempts for 28 yards. 4 carries for 13 yards for Joel Gravine. Cooper DePoit had 4 carries for 23 yards. Passing, Joel Gravine was 7 of 10, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jackson Riley came in 1 for 1, 44 yards. Shay Jones, 4 catches, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 2 catches for Asa Richard for 6 yards. 1 catch for 8 yards for Finn Richard. 1 catch for 8 yards for Finn Christensen. 105 yards on the ground, 154 through the air, 259 yards of total offense for the Wausau West Warriors. Looking at the scoring, again, what a game. Stevens Point, a 60-yard touchdown run by Breitbach with 9:55 to go in the first quarter. 7-0 Stevens Point with the lead. Warriors would then have a long touchdown drive of their own. Took off 7-plus minutes, and Shea Jones, a 7-yard catch from Joel Gravine. 1:58 to go in the first quarter. Extra point was good, 7-7. Warriors then took the lead late in the first half with 1:06 to go in the second quarter. A 60-yard interception return for a touchdown from Tayden Mua. 14-7 lead for Wausau West. Breitbach then tied it up on a long touchdown drive to start off the third quarter. 4:55 to go in the third. 3-yard touchdown run by Breitbach. Extra point was good. 14-14 was the score. Warriors, they got the ball back and they drove it down the field quickly. A 4-yard touchdown run by Miles Wallvogel with 3:40 to go in the third made it 21-14. Stevens Point got back to even with 2:17 to go in the fourth quarter. A 9-yard run, third touchdown run of the game by Trent Breitbach. It was tied up, and then the Warriors took over. First and 10 at their own 21-yard line. First play, looking downfield was Joel Gravine, and he found wide open Shea Jones, 79 yards for the touchdown. Extra point was good, 28-21, and it was not done then. Stevens Point got it back. They drove it all the way to the Wausau West 15, but then were stopped on downs, and the Warriors win it by a score of 28-21. So Wausau West improves to 4-2 overall. They're 3-1 in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. Stevens Point now is 4-2 overall, and they are 2-1 in the WVC. Well, don't forget, back at it next Friday night, we'll be heading to Marshfield as the Warriors will take on the Marshfield Tigers in a Wisconsin Valley Conference game. We'll be live from Marshfield starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. So that's Wausau West at Marshfield next Friday night, 6:35 airtime here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes from our Cloverbell Credit Union broadcast booth at Tom Field in Wausau. Thanks to all of our sponsors, without whose help we cannot bring you Warrior football, reminding you of the final score, Wausau West 28, Stevens Point 21. This has been Warrior football on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Wausau West Warrior High School football on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football has been brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrials and the Wausau Business Show, Featherstone Cabinetry, K5 Construction, and the Wausau West Gridiron Club. Thanks for joining.
Clubba. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions in keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny today with afternoon highs around 80 degrees. We'll have a wind out of the west at about 5 to 10. For tonight, mostly clear, lows in the mid-40s. Could see some patchy fog, though, especially heading into your Sunday morning. Sunday's highs in the mid-70s.
Currently, 75 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways. Yeah. Find some common ground, and then expand on that. And right. Then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence who's making sure folks understand the real risk of AI deepfakes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, it's the headbanging time. It's Busted Pencils, fully lighted education talk. Educated educators talking education with, Dr. Chris Tankin and Jacob and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. We got him back. Chris, though, so a lot of what we've done the first two halves is kind of, I guess, potentially maybe even pushed kind of our view that everything's awesome. AI is going to be the best thing in the world. That is not to say that we're not aware of. And in fact, there's a lot to be cautious about in this moment. And you have some pretty good like principles of if we're going to use AI, what should we be thinking about?
Right. I don't want the listeners to think that they've entered an AI revival meeting here. there are certainly a lot of promises. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there are also some perils. So, you know, when I work with teachers and leadership teams on integrating AI effectively and ethically and professionally into the curriculum, there's a few principles that I give them. You know, number one, view AI as a personal assistant, a support, not a replacement. So you use it as a support, as a personal assistant, but it should never replace you. Number two, anything that comes out of AI, anything that is created by AI, you always need to critique, revise, and customize it before using it with children. You never want to let the AI come between you and the student. So it shouldn't be actively teaching for you. You really need to look at if you do use it for grading, the way that you use it, because you got to keep in mind, AI doesn't know your students. It may give quote unquote correct feedback, but that might not be the feedback that student needs at that moment. It can't give targeted feedback like an education professional. And the final thing is, as I've said publicly before, these things are privacy dumpster fires. We really need to be careful about the information that you put in there. So as I tell educators, never put anything identifiable about yourself or your students. And I'm talking, you know, birth dates, names, ages, keep it all very anonymous.
Hmm. Johnny, you're like, okay, man, thank God I'm here to break up this revival.
No, I'm coming in late, but, you know, always honored to be part of the process of, you know, witnessing this, listening to it with our listeners and being part of the conversation. It's great. Chris, just a follow-up. I know I'm late to always the AI stuff, but it's been like Tim and I have been kicking it back and forth. It's been such a powerful tool in a lot of educational contexts. And part of discussions teachers are having, and I think they've been really great discussions, like how are we and are we going to be engaging with this tool? And I like those principles you just laid out for us, right? It's, I think, a really good guideposts to make sure we're considering as, you know, we're moving fast with this stuff, but not without thought. And Chris, I until just recently, had never thought of the privacy thing. That might have been my own blinders, but recently, you know, I've been reading statements that like publishers or different people have been putting together and, you know, requesting, and part of my job, I do a lot of reviewing articles, and, you know, that's a lot of like reading what people are proposing and kind of they're sharing their research with some trust that like it's in the care of reviewers. And, you know, I recently read a post saying, like, please don't use AI. Please don't put these manuscripts into AI. And I've been in some workshops about, you know, grading papers and like, can AI help, you know, writing instructors be better graders or give better feedback? And I think this privacy issue is key, like thinking about, like, if you do utilize these tools, how do you utilize them with care and knowledge of this? So that's my long-winded way. Chris, could you elaborate on that privacy piece a little bit more for listeners out there who are like, wait a minute, what if I'm engaging in like maybe student writing going in there, or like why be careful about that privacy thing?
Sure. I'm going to give you an example that just occurred in August. Some of your listeners may be even aware of this. So, you know, thousands of chats from ChatGPT users ended up locatable in Google searches. I think it was in August. So now consider the teacher who puts in students' IEPs into ChatGPT and you know, good-hearted, looking for suggestions. What are some great ways that I can work with this student? But now the IEP ends up in a Google search. So that's the kind of thing I tell teachers: if you don't know where the data is going, then it's not private, and we don't know where the data are going. So nothing is private. So just never use student names, never anything, identifiers, anything like that. Even in our own personal lives, everything's got to be anonymous, because if you don't know where it's going, that means it's probably searchable and public.
And what a great example too, because what a thoughtful way that can help, like a teacher who's maybe, you know, reading an IEP, that's an individualized educational plan, you know, so the learner has some accommodations necessary. Teacher's reading this, totally like Chris just pointed out, right? Like a good-hearted approach. What can I do differently to help this young person learn fractions, right? And AI can probably give you some ideas. And like you said too, like, don't take it as like, we can play on that word of like this being a revival meeting. Don't take it as gospel, you know, get some suggestions and kind of talk with others about it and think through it, but it can help out a lot with those things. So great tip too, like engage with these tools, but with knowledge of how important it is to maintain that confidentiality of that student's identity and their individualized education plan and things like that. Maybe it's like a behavior plan or any of those kinds of things.
But think about that though too, Chris. I mean, what I think you're saying though too is there is power in the AI to be incredibly helpful with quote an IEP. However, as a professional educator, that means you have responsibilities to protect the identity of that student, but you can, quote, create kind of like a mock IEP minus identifiers that then you could throw in and say, help me out, AI.
Sure. And AI has the capability to break down learning barriers for students in ways that we didn't have access to, or it took too long. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't take any time at all. But you, as the educator, you still have to have a professional knowledge base. You still need to know the questions to ask and why you're asking them. So I think, again, there's a lot of promise, but you have to be aware of the perils. The other thing that I tell teachers is if your district does not have a clear policy on AI use with students, do not use it with students. You know, that's a district responsibility to lay out the ground rules, lay out the guardrails for things that are used with students by teachers. So if your district doesn't have a policy, don't use it with students.
Well, with that one then, Chris, too, I mean, I know a lot of the work you do is with educational leaders. What are they saying as you're talking to them about that? I mean, you know, tell us what principals and superintendents are grappling with at this moment.
Yeah. So look, everybody is grappling with what should be in a policy. I mean, a lot of places have policies, but a lot still do not have policies. And so the questions I'm getting is what should be in the policy? How do you develop a policy for a tool that is always changing? And I tell them, you have to come back to principles of education that aren't going to change. Again, for example, you need to review everything that comes out of AI. That's not going to change. As a professional educator, that is your responsibility.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Wow. I mean, and so this is to understand, Johnny, before you were here, though, Jacob and Chris and we all publicly announced that we are AI users and we set ourselves free. So I don't know if you want to take this moment to also become part of the group. We're not anonymous here, though. But you know what, Chris, as we go back, though, to the potential promise, you know, one of the things that you had the opportunity to listen to the podcast with Mike Bigley, one of the superintendents in, you know, up in rural Wisconsin, where they are what we feel is doing some really kind of truly groundbreaking work with AI. What do you think?
Sure. When I listened to Mike, the first thing that came to my mind was they are using AI to go from aspirational to operational. We all have these wonderful dreams of what education can be. That's the aspirations. We got to make them operational. And I think using AI the way that his district is helps to do that. It helps to personalize the learning for students. It helps to problematize the learning for students. And it sounds as if he is really moving the district. The district is really moving in the direction of using knowledge, applying knowledge creatively and innovatively.
Yeah, I know that's kind of, and Johnny, you got to, and we didn't share this one. Johnny, you got to interview one of the other superintendents up there.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. I did, man. We had a great conversation about the awesome things happening and, you know, very similar. It resonates with this conversation of like, you know, educational leaders, school teachers, you know, even parents involved in that and including students, how they're experiencing. We are all engaging in like, what is this powerful tool? How is it helping make education better? And what are some of the limitations and pitfalls and how do we navigate that? It's been a good ongoing conversation.
I think Chris, to Johnny's
go ahead, Chris.
But I think to Johnny's point, you know, how do we navigate it? I think we can use the KIM principle, and that's keep kids in mind when you are deploying a tool like that. If we always keep the student at the center of our thinking, better things will happen.
And I couldn't agree with that more, man. The best technology is the technology that helps kids stay engaged, right? Help, like, it's in their hands, it's in their engagement. You know, you can hand me a bunch of more technology and I'm not going to be necessarily a more effective teacher, but when the kids are learning and they're engaged in it and together we're doing that, you know, great things can happen.
And yeah, then and that engagement piece, I know, man, holy crap, Chris, we're almost out of time with you. Chris, we also, though, have you seen the coming out of what the Alpha School, the 2-hour learning phenomena? And you know, we actually interviewed the what we would call a principal, but the head of their high school in Austin, and really because I think that they are, whatever it is with private, and it costs a lot of money, but they are taking on the engagement aspect that has been a real problem in education.
Sure. And Tim, I think part of that, you know, I don't know enough. I haven't been to that school, and I'd also like to see things 5 and 10 years from now. But you know, a big advantage they have is they're not under state standards and state testing. They're not trapped under the 1895 paradigm.
Oh man, nice bringing that back, Chris, like that, and going, okay, please, public school leaders, actually not even leaders, policymakers, set us free. So we can do some darn good work. Chris, as always, man, thanks for busting pencils with us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. When we get back, Tim and Johnny and Jacob, we're going to break it down.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
The 98.9 WXCO Text to Win contest sponsored by Ho-Chunk Gaming Winterberg. Download the free Civic Media app and text to win on the WXCO page.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Ooh. We're back. Hey. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slicker, and what a great guest. Love having Chris on, always bringing us, you know, something to think about. You know, he, again, has, you know, out there working with education leaders, doing all that work and just being able to, you know, to comment, to see the promise of AI as a really powerful moment that could really reshape how we're doing education, but then also making sure to remind us of the perils, the potential pitfalls. But Johnny, more importantly, the professional responsibility that comes with, you know, the work we do as educators, we got to always be thinking about these things. And that's what I liked about what Chris was saying is like, hey, this is a great, okay, use the word tool, a great learning device, but your principles, your responsibilities, your professionalism, you got to keep that in front and center. I mean, that's what I heard him saying. Johnny.
Yeah, and I love that because I love that aspect of it because it's actually really important in anything in life, especially when we talk about being an educator or being a citizen in a democracy. You know, there's some responsibilities that come with that. And there's ethical dimensions, and really every action has a consequence. So knowing what those potential consequences are is informed decision making. And this is no different. It's just that technology moves so fast.
I know.
And actually, in this context, it speeds up the work. So it gets kind of exciting as a tool. I'm like, man, wow. Like, this is really helpful. Like, this is a pretty powerful tool. And I love the times where educators talk with other educators about, okay, so it's potential or all these things. How does that play out? And what are the principles? Right. Not the PAL kind, not the principals who are like helping come up with these, you know, policies in their districts, but the principles, right? The PLES version of the word, you know, what are those sort of guiding rules of thumb? I guess that's not the best metaphor to use all the time because of the history of what that phrase actually stands for. That could be another trivia sometime down the line on it, maybe a producer's choice. The whole idea being like, hey, what's good about this? What do we want to keep and put to use? And what are some of the, you know, do's and don'ts? Better watch out about that. So that's gonna emerge from these kinds of conversation, from research around how do we use AI in teachers talking with other teachers and school leaders talking with other school leaders and their teachers and students and parents. Like a good old fashioned democratic discussion, kind of like a town hall, a town hall meeting per se, about how are we using AI? How is it using us? And where do we kind of fit in between those things?
But you gave a really great kind of lead into that of, you know, an inspired, enthusiastic, seeing the potential, working with AI, you know, a teacher, and just, you know, really going, wow, this is great. And then kind of where Chris was going and going, oh my God, if I'm going to take this IEP and I'm going to throw it in, because man, it could give me amazing feedback and ideas. And again, fully from the standpoint of saying, wanting to do best by the student, but then going like, whoa, hold on. You know, take a moment. And that's where, boy, I mean, Chris bringing that up and then the way you talked about it, it's just like, you know, like anybody, like get so excited because of the good you're doing.
Yeah, it moves fast.
And then the fast, but then the potential of going like, oh, wait, crap, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And then I also really like how he talked about if there's not a policy in your school or school district, don't use it. And so that, well, I like being in that position, being like, well, then we have to voice, hey, we need a policy so that we can engage with this tool because, you know, get with the times. It's in every student's, you know, technologies. Right. It's in our classroom, but we need some collective responsibility around how we use it. So getting those policies in place. Again, technology moves fast. It's part of our responsibility to figure out those ethical dimensions and sort of fair use principles. So love that, you know, shout out that Chris gave us too on that. Like, hey, remember, use it, but use it with permission.
John, speaking of moving fast, man, I got to see you on the ice, man, because from what I understand, Johnny Lupinacci is like quicksilver on the ice. But enough of that. Now it's time for your moment of zen. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils broadcast today. And remember to grab great podcasts chock full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, on the Civic Media website. And don't be late for our homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And find us on Friday for, of course, producer Jacob's Choice special shows. And just like today, you can catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. President Trump sends federal troops to Portland, where the mayor insists that they are not needed and says Mr. Trump is trying to create conflict to fit his narrative. CBS's Willie James Inman at the White House.
The president said the deployment would seek to handle, quote, domestic terrorists, and that it was needed to protect immigration and customs enforcement facilities and what he described as war-ravaged Portland. In his post on social media, Mr. Trump said he was authorizing, quote, full force if necessary.
Democratic Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley says,
Trump is sending troops to Portland with the goal of, quote, doing a number on the city. And we know what this means. He wants to stoke fear and chaos and trigger violent interactions and riots to justify expanded authoritarian control.
President Trump is asking the Supreme Court for the second time this year to allow him to restrict birthright citizenship. Loyola law professor.